What do you do when your plan doesn't go according to plan? All of us know the importance of good planning. A person who builds a house does not do so without having a blueprint first. A teenager who is trying to get accepted into college spends a great deal of time planning their application. People spend decades planning for retirement so that when they reach retirement, they are able to do so on sound financial footing. But as much as we know the importance of plans, all of us know the experience of having things not go according to plan. And so what is our plan when things don't go according to plan? The most common and typical reaction to things not going according to plan is for a person to panic. A person sees all their plans falling apart and they begin to panic because they don't see another plan. You see, when we see our things going according to our plan, we have a feeling of safety and security and peace. But when things don't go according to plan, we often panic and are incredibly anxious. Think about for a moment if you are driving to work and you are going on the route that you've gone thousands of times and that you left plenty of time to get there and there is no traffic whatsoever. There's no panic. There's no fear. In fact, you might actually enjoy that drive to work. But think about if you're on a road trip. You're somewhere you've never been before, and it's dark. There's no street lights, and you don't have a map or GPS of any kind, and you're completely lost. And not only that, your gas tank is almost empty, and you will run out of gas soon and not know what to do. A very different feeling. A very different experience. As I said before, more often than not, in that experience, we begin to panic. But in our scripture reading today, we learn that the worst thing that we can do when things don't go according to plan is panic. And instead, we need to prepare ourselves to do something else. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Exodus. And it comes from the period in biblical history when God had led his people, Israel, out of slavery in Egypt into freedom. They were led by a man named Moses, and they were led into the desert for 40 years until finally they reached the promised land. And our scripture reading today takes place sometime during that time in the desert. They were wandering around, surviving and doing okay because they had this wonderful leader named Moses, this leader who was able to talk to God and instruct them and keep them healthy and safe. And so one day Moses tells the people, stay here. I need to go up the mountain and talk to God. We need to figure out what the next plan is. And so Moses goes up the mountain and begins developing a wonderful plan for the Israelites. But the scriptures tell us that Moses was delayed, that Moses did not return in the time that he said he would. Now, we don't know how long he was delayed. Maybe he was delayed a few days. Maybe he was delayed a few weeks. Maybe he was delayed a few months. But whatever length of time it was long enough for the Israelites to begin to panic. They begin to wonder, what happened to Moses? Where was he? Where did he go? Did he forget him? Did he die? Did something bad happen to him? And not only that, where was God? Why weren't they given an update? Why weren't they given a schedule? Why didn't God send them a message to let them know everything was okay? And in their panicking, they began to worry that now they were all alone. They were all alone and they no longer had God or Moses to watch out for them. And because they felt they were all alone, they began to panic and they did something very, very bad. They began to make up a new God. They began to think to themselves, you know, we can't see this God that we've been worshiping. Only Moses has been talking to him on a regular basis. Let's make a new God. Let's make a God that out of our gold, jewelry, and pieces. A God that we can actually see and touch and put our hands on. A God that we can worship every day. And maybe this God will take care of us. Maybe this God will protect us. At least we'll be able to see this God. You see, because they panicked, they made a wrong choice. They began to think that God and Moses had forgotten them, and they did the thing that was opposite of the thing they should have done. We're no different. Think about a time in your life when you were panicked, when you were incredibly stressed out and anxious. Did you make a good decision or a bad decision? The truth of the matter is, it's understandable why we might panic sometimes, but it is never a good idea to panic. We never make good decisions when we're panicking. We're never healthier or better off. We never love others better. We're never more well taken care of, and the people we care about are no more well taken care of either. You see, panic is a bad decision, not only because it leads to other bad decisions, but because it's based on a false premise. It's based on the premise that we are all alone. That because our plan fell apart, there is no other plan working for us. You see, our scripture reading today says that Moses was delayed coming down the mountain. And the Israelites made an assumption because of his delay, and it was the wrong assumption. They believed that because he was delayed, something bad happened to him, and that God had forgotten him and abandoned him. But the truth could have been more different. You see, Moses was delayed because him and God were spending so much time working out the next step for the Israelites. God was being so deliberate, so careful, so intentional about the good things that he was going to do for the Israelites that he had spent extra time planning things out. When we panic, when our plans go astray, we sometimes think that maybe God has forgotten us, that maybe God has abandoned us. But the truth of the matter is, whether we can see it or not, God is always planning for our good. I remember my first year of college. My first year of college, there was a requirement that all students had to live in the dorms. But our second year of college, we could live in these really fancy, nice, upscale apartments. We could live in an apartment building where we had a kitchen and we had a living room, and we could pick any roommates that we wanted. And so me and three of my best friends all decided that we were going to live in these apartments together. But there was a stipulation. There was a catch. That in order to live in these apartments, you had to have a certain GPA. GPA means grade point average. It means the average of all your first semester grades. Now, I'll admit, my first semester was my worst semester academically in college. And so my GPA was off a tenth of a point from what it needed to be in order to live in these apartments. But I thought to myself, a tenth of a point is no big deal. I mean, surely they'll look over a tenth of a point, if not a whole point or anything like that. And so me and my friends, we got together in planning and living in this apartment. And very slowly, all the other spaces in the college, all the other dorms and things like that began to fill up. And so we went there to the day where we're all supposed to sign the lease together, and we all sit down and we have to hand in our paperwork, and the landlord is looking over everything and everything's going well, and then all of a sudden the landlord stops. The landlord sees my GPA and says, "You can't live here. Your GPA is a tenth of a point below what it needs to be." I begged and pleaded my case that my grades were much better by now, and by the end of the semester, they would be well above what they needed to be in order to live in the apartments. But she wasn't hearing it at all. And she immediately turned from me, back to the other tenants in my apartment. And I had to walk out. I left. I left feeling completely dejected. I left having my plan for living arrangements be totally thrown out the window. And not only that, I didn't know where I was going to live next year. I didn't know anyone else I could live with who hadn't already made arrangements. I had felt like my plans were completely destroyed. Well, it turns out that that was one of the best things that could have ever happened to me. You see, those apartments were triple what it cost to live in the dorms. And I would have to take on a massive amount of student loan debt just to afford those apartments. Later on, I found a roommate and I lived in the dorm next year, and it was fine. I was able to do all the things I wanted to do, and I visited my friends in those apartments without having to pay the expensive rent. You see, I believe firmly that while I had one plan, God had another plan. And that plan was better than I could have imagined. See, I like to think that life is kind of like a film set. You see, when we watch a movie or a TV show, we see the actors, we see the special effects, we see the props. But there is a whole bunch of things behind the actors and the props and the special effects that we don't see. There are cameramen, there are directors, there are assistants, there are writers, there are editors. There's all these things that go into making a movie and a TV show. But we only see part of it. The same can be said in our walk with God. That there are many times in life where we see God's blessings as clear as day. That what God is doing in our life is readily apparent. But there are other times in life where God is working behind the scenes. You see, there was no reason for the Israelites to panic, because the reason Moses was delayed was not because that God had abandoned them. It's because God was doing something bigger than they could imagine. And the same is true with us. When we feel like we are alone, when we begin to panic and feel afraid that things aren't going to according to plan, we have two choices: to feel like God has abandoned us, or to feel like God is working on something bigger than we could imagine. But if we can't see it, how do we know it? How can we truly trust and believe that God will not abandon us, that God will not leave us behind? Well, at the end of our scripture reading today, God becomes quite angry at the Israelites for rejecting him, for feeling like that he couldn't be trusted. And God, his first impulse was to destroy the people, to get rid of them. But Moses intercedes for the people. Moses stands up for the people and says, God, do not destroy them, but forgive them. And so God does. And we have something similar in our own faith, but it's actually so much better. You see, when we falter, when we struggle, when we fail, Jesus intercedes for us. That's what the cross is. That's what the cross means, really. It means Jesus is standing up for us. Jesus is standing between us and God's judgment. You see, when we feel like God has abandoned us, when we feel like God has forgotten us, when we can't see God's plan and we need to be reassured that God really does love us, all we have to do is look at the cross. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." God so loved the world that he gave his only son. One of the most precious things in the world is a relationship from a parent to a child. And a parent will do anything for the welfare of their child. And so if God is willing to give up his only son for us, if he's willing to do that, what else won't he do? You see, life is sometimes scary. Life is sometimes difficult. Life is filled with hardships and surprises that often make us feel like we are on our own. But nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth, because we know and we can remember what God did for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. And that God would give up His only Son for us. God would do anything else for us. God would never leave us, never abandon us, because God loves us far, far too much. And so remember, the next time you feel like things are falling apart, remember the next time you feel like things aren't going according to plan, you have a choice to choose that you're all on your own and begin to panic, or to choose trust, to choose that God does love you, and God will never abandon you, because God loves you more than anything in this world. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to hear this story today and remember the Israelites. Help us remember in times of uncertainty to not panic, but trust. Help us not feel like you have turned away from us, but help us use it as a time to grow closer to you. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.